Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Father, this morning we honor your word and we thank you for that word. Jesus, you are the word, the living word. And so we thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the Holy Spirit, revealing who you are, what you're about, and what life in you is like. We surrender this time once again, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, I'm just a vessel. Speak through me, Lord. I yield myself to you. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit to bring forth your word, to bring forth encouragement, to bring forth direction, correction, change, comfort, and exhortation, Lord, and to build your people up in love. Thank you for this privilege this morning, Lord. Thank you that they're going to be blessed, and Lord, we're all going to be blessed because of your presence here today and because of your word. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Hallelujah. You know, as a pastor, one of the things that, I don't know if people understand this or not, but one of the things that a man or a woman, or well, a man, because God uses women, but he doesn't call them into the ministry of pastor, is puts compassion in a pastor's wife's heart, same thing. Compassion for people. Their heart, and if they're really a pastor and they're really called by God, their heart and their heart's desire is for the people to have the fullness of God, the reality of God, and the blessings of God operating in their people's lives. Not just the people of their own congregation, but the people of God. The people out there who need to know and understand who they are, what they have in God. And through conversation yesterday, my heart went out because I realized again that something, you know, I mean, how many know what the tricks of the devil are? The devil uses deception. He uses deceit to bring distraction and then ultimately to bring fear. To bring fear. And how does the enemy do that? What are the tools that he uses? He uses tricks of the mind. Now, it doesn't take very long to figure out when you go back and read Genesis. I believe it's chapter 3. Especially the first few verses. Who Satan is and what he's about. We look back at when Jesus was coming off the mount after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the enemy came and tried to distract him by wrongly using the Word of God. And so in this day and age, things haven't changed. It's just that the message is coming in a different form than Satan standing before us, although it's still Satan in one form or another still standing before us. And what he wants to do is he wants to deceive us, he wants to distract us, and then he wants to cause fear in our life by the distraction because it takes our focus off of the Word of God. Once again, I want to remind you, the Spirit and the Word always agree. And I want to tell you again, if you lose focus of the Word, then what your focus turns to is what you're going to exalt at that moment. And what do I mean by exalt? I don't mean like bowing down before the Lord in reverent respect and humility. I'm talking about putting your focus and getting caught up in things that are usually 100% negative and distract and take away or try to steal away the Word from us. How many know what the enemy's plan is and what his devices are? He says, I'm a thief. I mean, the Bible says he's a thief and a liar. He says he comes, what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. Well, my question is, what are number one, causing those distractions in your life that cause you to lose focus on what's really important and maybe cause you to forget who's really in control? Who's really in control? Family of God, it's not the government. It's not the doctors. It's not the lawyers. It's not the judges. It's not the laws. God is the one who's in control. He gave us 10 commandments or 10 laws. And those are still the basis, or it should be the basis of everything we do and everything we are. So these other things, these things like world problems, things like discussion yesterday was about Obamacare. And is there anybody here who really think they understand and know what Obamacare is all about? I can tell you, I don't have a clue. And Kathy, bless her heart, yesterday made that comment. And the comment came back, well, I know. Well, how do you know? I heard when Clinton was in office that he balanced the budget. But is there anybody here, unlike me, who ever saw any proof? I never saw any proof that that happened. Or was this just stuff fed to us, hoping we'd swallow it as truth? The devil wants to disguise truth in a lie. He wants us to believe the lie, and then our deception is complete. Should I say that again? The devil wants to disguise truth in a lie. He wants to deceive us into believing that that lie is the truth, and that that lie becomes truth if we don't understand or know who God is. Are you with me so far? What motivates you? Where do you get your information? How do you measure its worth or its truth? There's only one way that I know of, and that's through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, because once again, they always agree. If they're not in agreement, I guarantee you, as a believer who has the Holy Spirit in your life and people who know the Word, what's going to happen is you will lose your peace. Something just won't feel right. It'll be like you slept on your neck wrong or something like that. You got a crick, you know. It just does. It's not something. It's haywire. It does not comfortable and it doesn't feel right. And that's when you know something is amiss. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 14, verse 12. You know, in this day and age, you know, and one of the arguments was, you know, there's a radio, or not a radio station, a television station, that for the most part try to do the very best they can to proclaim truth. And I think they do a decent job as far as they have the ability. Did you hear what I said? As far as they have their ability. But the first thing that has to be settled in our lives is, first of all, what truth is and where truth comes from and how we get it. The reality we look at every day is not necessarily truth. In fact, in many cases, it's so far from the truth, it's sickening. And people, you know, it was said to me one time, why do you pay taxes? Well, it's just because that's what we do. That's what everybody's done. But why? Do you know, I'm not going to go into a big thing, but I'll just tell you, if you never signed or turned in your first tax return form, and the government sent you a bill saying you owe us this money, you would have the ability under our Constitution and the way this country was set up to say, and the people are still doing it today, by the way. I'm not advocating this. I'm saying that there are people who are willing to go the distance and who have done their homework, and they're doing this. Sending them, you know, saying, wait a minute, you show me a bill and show me what I owe you, and I'll pay it. And quite honestly, the government can't do it. But yet they've hoodwinked us because we signed our first tax return into thinking we owe this money and we are obligated to pay it. I'm not against taxes. But if you remember, we had a brouhaha in this country at one time about taxation without representation. Well, I'm here to tell you today, my representative is God. And He is the microscope, or the filter with which I process everything. We're supposed to honor those in authority. But I told a pastor one time, and this is not bragging, This is not arrogant. This is telling you what's in my heart. Pastor one time said, Bill, you need to call me pastor. And because he's a human being and because he, like me or anybody else, had the ability to get into error or to slip off the beaten path a little bit, I told him, again, not arrogantly, not mean, not harshly, but I said, you know what? I'll follow you as long as you follow God. Where's my allegiance? Where is your allegiance today? What are you basing your lifestyle, your trust in? What is eating at you today, or what is blessing you today? Is it knowing the truth and walking in that truth? Or is it the torment that comes from listening to people who talk about things? Can I tell you something? These people may be very sincere and they may be honest, but if they're not talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then they're only giving out physical truth, not spiritual or real truth. Are you with me? Have I lost anybody yet? Okay. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And Proverbs 16:25 echoes that same verse, except it says it just a little different. Well, no, it says the same thing exactly. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now let me tell you what, when the way is talked about in those two scriptures, it's talking about a road, a path, a direction, a manner, or a habit. If I'm going too fast, let me know. A course of life. What motivation has set the course of your life? Has set the habits in your life? The manners and the direction in your life? Or set the road that you're on? When it says it seems right, that right means the straight, the upright, the correct, the level that's pleasing, just, fitting, proper, and righteous. It seems right. It seems like the right thing. It makes sense. But it's slanted, just like it was slanted when the devil came to Adam and Eve. Did the Lord say? God didn't really say that. And doubt and deception. First of all, deception was introduced. Doubt was brought into being. And then they realized things they should never have known. If God wanted us to know, He would have built it into us or told us, yeah, man, eat that tree. That's a good tree and you need to eat that. And then we'd have the knowledge of good and evil. But it was through deception and treachery that Adam and Eve were deceived, and that brought forth the Eve was deceived and Adam was the sin was brought forth in his life by obeying and giving in to what God told them not to do. And that's what happens. Let me tell you one of the deceptions. In fact, one of the things that spurred this whole thing. My heart was grieved because I don't want to see God's people deceived. I don't want to see people, you know, not walking in the fullness of what God has. And if you're hung up worrying about Obamacare, then what the enemy has wanted to do through well-meaning people, and they may be great people on the outside, but they're not righteous if they don't know the Lord. Is that too harsh for anybody? There's a lot of well-meaning, very good people out there who are going to hell. And that's because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. They have what they perceive as truth, but that truth is actually a deception built to keep you off balance and designed, a tool that the enemy uses to keep you off balance and blind to what the truth really is, or to get you off of the truth and onto some tangent or something that ultimately will bring fear. And over what? We don't even know what Obamacare is yet. Now, I'm smart enough to know by listening to what I have that there's probably some things in there that we're not going to like that have nothing to do with health care. Nothing to do with health care. Okay? And again, I'm not saying that we should just absolutely shut these people off, But we need to be very careful what we accept as truth and reality. Circumstances are subject to change. Y'all still with me? God's word is not subject to change. His values are not subject to change. He says, I am the Lord and I do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord and He does not change. There's a way that seems right to a man. That is a man, a human being, a person, or mankind. Covers everybody. Not just the male gender. The ways of. In other words, there is a way that seems right to man, right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And that way is a road, a journey, a path, direction, habits, or a course of life, or a manner. And it leads to destruction because it's based on human reasoning. Not on the truth revealed by the Spirit of God. It's amazing to me that human beings, myself included, have a built-in need created in them to be and to feel right in their actions, their thoughts and assessments, and their deeds. How many feel real comfortable when they know they've made a mistake or they were wrong about something? How many just say, oh, well, gee, I guess I need to change that? Or do you look at the messenger and you want to kill the messenger? Because they've exposed what you feel in your flesh, deceitful heart, as a flaw. Or they're trying to expose you as something that you're not. Does this make any sense or am I losing you? In other words, what they say causes us to feel like we're defective or like we're less or we're substandard. Are you with me? And that's not the case at all. You have the truth in you. It's alive. He's alive and well. You have the way and the truth and the life in you. And let me say again, if God's in control, then there is nothing or no way that you can ever be out of control. Now, that's more than just God being what appears in control in this world. Because if you look, it doesn't appear from the outward eyes, the flesh, the carnal perception, fleshly perception, that God's in control right now. How many remember that the Word says it's by His mercy and grace that we're not consumed? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So what happens is our reaction, we get all shook up, get all head up, and you know, instead of just acknowledging, you know what, Lord, if that's really true in my life, then I need to change. I want You to change me. But instead, we get upset, we get focused on the things, and then our focus is off of the Word of God and on to something that was meant to be destructive. That means the thoughts or cares of this life. Oh, the thoughts and the cares of this life. And I believe God addressed that in the Word. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He sets you free. And if you're free, then you're free indeed. Don't let things or words that are not truth, no matter how good they seem, no matter how right they seem, if they're not what God says, then they're not truth. Enough said. The reactions vary from frustration to anger. People like that who feel like, man, I've made a mistake. And I'm telling you, I can think of someone very close to me. And dear God, it's like you touch a hot wire and they're off and they're running. And I mean, there's no more talking or reasoning. It's anger. It's, man, they'll shut you off like a switch and they won't listen. They're closed-minded. And yet this person loves and knows the Lord. Walks with the Lord. So on the one hand, we have outside stimuli. And we have the spiritual stimuli. Where are you walking today? Or are you vacillating in between, the hot and cold, in the lukewarm area? How and where do you get your information that guides and motivates the thing you put your trust in and you believe? And most important, that you base your life on. What information? What measuring device are you using? Is the Lord at the top place in your life? Is He the influence and the truth you give heed to? Or are you influenced by men and revere what they say just because they seem credible? In who or what do you place your trust and your confidence? We sing the song in church. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The rock is the Word of God. The rock is the cornerstone, Jesus. Any other ground is not stable. And so when the storm or the attack comes, or a situation arises that you feel you don't have control over, just remember, you may not physically have control over the situation, but you have control by the Spirit of God, because you know and serve and believe in the One who has control. Amen? Listen to what Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, the way you understand things, the way you perceive things. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In everything you do, give Him praise. Give Him thanks. Look to Him for the answers, for the direction, for your life. And He shall direct your path. And that path literally means He will direct your way of living. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. In other words, respect Him, reverence Him, and depart from evil. What's evil? Anything that's not part of the truth. It doesn't have to be murder or theft or anger. It can be just not hearing the Word of God, not believing and not standing in the Word of God, or listening to somebody who's not preaching the truth of God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that has always been a stumbling block to people who don't really understand and don't listen and who have not looked for themselves, this book contains everything truly stated. But even Paul said, not everything is the truth of God. In his own life, he said, this is my perception. Remember what I'm talking about? He said, this is my perception. This is the way I see it. And I think I have the mind of Christ, the mind of God. If you can come to that term, everything here is accurately recorded. It's all truth as far as the recording of, but it's not all God's truth. And there is a big difference. Have I lost you? You understand what I'm saying? Numbers 23:19 and 1 Samuel 15:29, they say basically the same thing, but it's a little different. God is not a man. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? And then in 1 Samuel 15:29, He says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie or relent. In other words, repent. Relent's the same word. For He is not a man that He should relent or repent. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. In Romans 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Does it change the truth and reality of God because they don't believe?" You need to be careful that it doesn't change your belief. Okay? Let's face it, there's people out there that we love, and yet we know in our heart of hearts, unless they change, unless they repent and they give place to God, they're not going to make it. The Bible says evil company corrupts good morals. Evil company corrupts good morals. So that means I need to be careful who I associate with and who I fellowship with. Does that mean we never talk to sinners? No, that's not what I'm saying. But don't get caught up in their circles. Don't go the places they go. Don't do the things they do. And don't get sucked into that that God's delivered you out of. Some of you may remember the song that I sing some once in a while. It says, "Today I went back to the place where I used to go. I saw the same old crowd that I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And again, as they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore." And then the next verse says, "Today we went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, don't be afraid. You've got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the dad I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Glory to God. Glory to God." Verse 4 says, "Certainly not. For if the," let me read verse 3 again. "For what if someone did not believe? Will that their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not," in verse 4. "Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged." And what's one of the ways we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You can't overcome things that are going on and the apprehensions and the discomfort you feel about what's going on around you by dwelling on or talking about the issues that are going on around you. What brings change to your life is what's going to bring change to the situations that surround you and the people in your life. And that is the Word of God, the presence of God, and the Spirit of God. They're going to bring peace and they're going to agree. Again, I ask, what filter do you use to process and filter outside information and stimuli? Or let me just put it this way, hearsay information. Well, Bill Clinton balanced the budget. That was hearsay information. How many know that even still in our courts, hearsay information is not admissible? You can't use hearsay. Well, I heard him say, that doesn't mean, what bearing does that have on the facts? None. What you heard doesn't necessarily reflect the reality or the truth or the circumstances or, if you will, the evidence that's at hand. That's why it's not admissible. It's secondhand. Man, what a revelation. Not really. Should be simple. But because we're so complicated, we miss those simple things. Let me ask you this. Do you, as so many do, accept hearsay as truth? Or do you let the Spirit and the Word filter all fleshly or worldly or, I'll use the word carnal, knowledge? How many know the Bible tells us that Satan comes as an angel of light? He makes himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:12-14. Here's what it says. It says, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the thing of which they boast. For such are false apostles. Listen carefully. God's telling you what these people are. They're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of God. They're speaking of what they speak of as its truth. And what their whole motivation and their thinking is, God has nothing to do with this. God can't do anything about this. Oh, really? Oh, really? And no wonder in verse 14, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Family of God, there's only two sides in the vast scheme of things in the Bible. It's the righteous and just side or the evil and dark side. God says, if you're not for me, you're against me. It's that simple. I've made my determination to let God be true and every man a liar. And once again, I want to remind you, that means even this man right here, this mind, will, and emotions between my ears, and they come from this deceitful, not physical, but soul nature that I have in me, which is called the heart or the soul of man. When Satan the serpent came to Adam and Eve, he came using trickery, deception, and causing doubt in them about what God said, or he brought his own truth. Now, if you want to read about that, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'll read it. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, I want you to get that. Now, the serpent, we all know who the serpent is, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? There's the doubt. There's the cause to stop and doubt. Wait a minute, did I really hear God correctly? He's chasing the challenge. Did you really hear God correctly? You shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said in verse 2 to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. In verse 3 it says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Whose report are you going to believe, ladies and gentlemen? Whose report are you going to believe? The outside influence, the outside stimuli, the outside sources, or are you going to believe God? We all know what happened, don't we? God had to send his own son, starting as a babe in a manger, having a ministry of only 3 years, from the age of 30 to 33, and then receive the bruises and stripes. Isaiah 53 says, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Healed from what? Anxiety, anguish, torment, fear, sickness, disease, poverty, mental instability, mental stress. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, it says, the serpent said, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, my goodness, what a revelation. Of course God knows. But do you see what he did? He appealed to their flesh. He appealed to their thinking. Whoa. You mean I'll be like God and I'll know good and evil? Man, all he said was you'll be like God, and it was on. It was on. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. All information. Well, let's turn with me, if you will. Let's look at Ephesians 4 real quickly before we go on to that. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. This is familiar scripture. You all know what this says. This is Jesus speaking on behalf of God. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, and evangelists. Actually, it's not. It's being recorded by one of the apostles. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints. Equipping. What do you need equipment for? To protect yourself. Why do you wear night vision goggles? So you don't stumble around in the dark. So you don't run into something that might want to eat you. Or might want to hurt you, or so you don't walk off a cliff. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Not the unity of knowledge, the unity of faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to be what? What's it for? Why did he do that? So that we could be a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, here's the rest of the purpose. Here's the rest of the story. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. It's really the trickery of the devil. And men influenced by the devil, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Is there anybody here who's not convinced or who's not sure or who doesn't realize the enemy has a plan for your life too? Steal the word, then to kill you, and then to destroy you. And how he does that is by stealing the word and causing doubt. In other words, did God really say? Are you with me? All information, be it spiritual or carnal or fleshly, if you want to use that word, should and must be. It's imperative that it's looked at through the microscope of the Word of God. That's the only measuring stick we have. All men are fallible, no matter how sincere or good. Or trustworthy, they seem to us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you I am a man. I can make a mistake. It's up to you to check out what comes from this pulpit, no matter who's standing here, and make sure you're hearing truth. Now, I'm not going to deliberately tell you a lie. But in my knowledge, because I'm a human, it may be a little bit limited. So I might make a mistake that is not intentional, but that if you don't know the Word and if you don't know the Lord and you're not in His presence, you may get led off center just a little bit. Again, not intentional. And if that ever happens, I pray that you'll come and say, wait a minute, Bill, I want to ask you about this. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal to both of us what the truth is. And if I need to change, I'll stand here and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I made this statement, and I have to take it back. Here's what really was said, or what I believe was really said. Amen? It has to be through the microscope of the Word and Spirit. All men are fallible, no matter how sincere, how good, or trustworthy they seem. You can get provable truth from any source. Now listen carefully. If you're not listening carefully, you're going to miss this. You can't get provable truth from any source. You cannot get provable truth from any source other than the Word revealed by the Holy Spirit who leads and guides into all truth. Jesus is, was, and always will be the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He is the living Word. Look, if you will, at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. 2 John 1:7 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Again, focusing back on, again, if, I'm picking on news reports, but you put whatever you want to in there. There are good people who stand up for what appear to be good values. But are they godly values? I think they're motivated by, hopefully, what the founding forefathers of this country wanted and believed. But if Jesus Christ, if they're not preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then I need to be careful what they say and not jump hook, line, and sinker and receive hook, line, and sinker into what comes out of their mouth. If it's not pointing to Jesus as your hope, your protection, and your stay, then it needs to be weighed, again, through the microscope of the Word and the Spirit. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He was a murderer. First thing he kills and tries to murder is the Word of God. Make it look like it's not true or it's not effective. From the beginning, from the very beginning, he was a murderer. Look what he did. Just as easily if somebody had taken a gun and shot Adam and Eve, they lost their immortality. Wouldn't you say that's death? And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But in this man, or in the devil, and those who follow him and who don't acknowledge God as coming in the flesh, Jesus as coming in the flesh, are the same as him. The truth has never been in him and is not in him. When he speaks, going on in 844, John 844, he speaks a lie. Listen carefully. This is important. He speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it, or the father of the lie. I put a little footnote down here. The one who birthed lies. Look at how he started out as an angel in heaven. The anointed cherub that had was had not only led the choir of heaven, led music in heaven, but had, the Bible says he had instruments built into his very being. And he lied to and deceived and caused an uprising in heaven for a third of the angels in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, I can't comprehend that. All I know is that's a lot. And that to me is beyond comprehension. First, the fact that he could do that, but that angels would be that foolish to listen to somebody who wasn't God. That's why we have... Look at the place we're in. The angels will never know the salvation we have. They don't understand. They don't have the ability to know what it is to have your life reconciled and restored to right relationship with the Father. For us to be loved so much that God would send His only Son. The Scripture asks, to which of the angels did He at any time say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," or "Sit at my right hand"? An angel will never know that. He's created us a little lower than the angels, but He's crowned us with truth and life. Praise the Lord. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, family of God. "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel," gospel means good news, "or what seems to be good news to you, than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." And then he repeats it, so it must be important. In the very next verse he says, And we have said, as we have said before, so now I say again, he's repeating himself, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. Numbers 23:19 is where we find out, and I repeated it again. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? If God spoke it, then you can bank on it. If God didn't speak it. See, you know, folks, one of the things as Christians is our hope is not in this life. Amen? And if we're in this world but not of this world, then we shouldn't be afraid of men or men's devices or men's wisdom or men's, their ways of doing things. Your Bible says not to fear man, what man can do unto you. Obamacare may have an effect, but it's not going to touch my life or affect my salvation. Amen? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Satan always comes with distraction, distortion, deceit, and those things that cause fear. Those are the tools he uses. Deception, deceit, and distraction. And the ultimate goal is to cause fear. And fear is what paralyzes and causes death, especially in a Christian walk. If you entertain those things, then he can paralyze you, stop you right in your tracks. See, it's the same thing as someone who has been violated or abused physically, mentally, emotionally, and at that point their growth, their maturation, their maturing stops. They're stuck in that time when they were mistreated and misused and abused. They can't grow any further. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But that's what fear does to us in our Christian walk. It stops our maturing. And he uses people, just like God uses people, in many cases, to perpetrate or perpetuate his plans. They bring doubt. He uses them to bring doubt and use information and actions to birth fear in men, to rob them of the knowledge of God and to kill and to steal the word in them and turn their focus from God. Forgotten? Have you forgotten? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And finally, Isaiah 26:3 says that God, or the Spirit, whichever way you want to look at it, it's all relevant. You will keep him in perfect peace. In perfect peace. Did you hear that? In perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Or whose mind has stayed on the Lord because you trust the Lord. If your mind's on the Lord, then you have peace, or you should have. If peace is not operating in your life, in some areas of your life, then you maybe better look at what the stimuli was that took that peace from you or that's trying to kill that peace. And if there's fear involved, then you already know where it came from. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, if you've said, Jesus, come into my life, you are the Son of God, you came, born of a virgin, and you redeemed my life, and I need you, I make you the Lord of my life, then there is no question that the death sentence on you has been done away with. You will never suffer what Jesus paid for you by His dying. It's done. But now, to continue that peace, to continue in the grace and the mercy, to continue in the blessings of God, you have to surrender your life. That doesn't just mean as you think about Him once in a while, but that your life, from the moment you wake up in the morning and take your first breath of being awake, till the time that you lay your head down and draw your last breath of cognizance being aware. It's not that you're not still aware spiritually, because you are. Then you're not where you need to be. And you're walking in a place you don't have to walk. Did you hear me? You don't have to walk there. All of these outside things don't amount to a hill of beans in the vast scheme of things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be aware, but we don't let that awareness become a motivation for our life. Either to sit in a corner and just, I'm not going out because I'm afraid, or, boy, I don't want to be a part of that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, and it says, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's troubles are sufficient in their own selves. Amen. Praise the Lord. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And every time I need Him, He's always near. He's right there. And His promises are in Him. Yes and amen, or so be it. If you're afraid today, don't be. If you're downcast today because of circumstances or things that are out there that seem to be rushing in, don't be. Don't let your soul be downcast. Put your hope in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If anybody needs prayer today, please, just make it known. If there's anything we need to pray about, you can come or you can let us know. At the close of service, the elders are ready to pray. We're going to watch God do something for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Did this help anybody today? Did it bring any kind of light? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when God says things and does things and gives messages like this, it's not that you don't know, but you may have gotten a little distracted, or that it just enhances what you already know and brings you, if you will, back on course. Amen? You may not have strayed far, but let's face it, you know, if you, like the song says, shackled by a heavy burden, cumbered beneath a load of care. But thank God, then the hand of Jesus touches you. Amen? And now you're no longer afraid. Hallelujah. Has Jesus touched you today? If He hasn't, or you need more, then please, like I say, don't be hesitant. All hearts clear. we've done what we need to do. Forgive me. For once, I ran 10 or 12 minutes over. Praise the Lord. Y'all know I love you. And I want the very best for you. And I'm grieved. Yes, sir. Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Is there anybody here who's afraid of God's law? So even if it was a book of laws, if it's God's law, there's nothing to be afraid of. Would you agree? Well, and what does he say? If you are willing and then are obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You'll partake of every promise in the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings revelation and wisdom and understanding and insight and teaches us and leads us in the way of righteousness. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that your word is sealed in every heart, that people's hope and their trust was revitalized in them today. And Lord, as we go, we look to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one who's begun a good work in us, and you're the one who'll see it to its finish until you return again. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for peace, for life and light and protection, and for Jesus, who is the living Word, who's now seated at the right hand of the Father with us as the church, and as He is our head, we are now the body of Christ. And we thank you for that. And again, we proclaim the enemy is under our feet, our footstool. Thank you, Lord. Father, bless our time of fellowship. Go with your people today, Father. And thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on each and every one of us, Lord. You don't pick and choose. They're for everyone. You call each one of us the apple of your eye. And we thank you, Lord. Let us reciprocate, Lord, by saying you are the most important thing in our lives. Now we sanctify whatever food we're going to receive now. Bless the fellowship of those who go out and eat lunch this afternoon together. And those wherever they have to go, bless them. And let your presence completely and remain constantly known to them, and your care and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.